to a pastor friend of mine, and we just were talking about this. I think this is so appropriate for right now, and I'd be honest with you, I talked about it with him over a month ago now, and I couldn't wait until this day to share that with you. But I want you to set your open up your heart. For some of you, God wants to change you in a great way at this season of your life, and invite the right people in your life and excuse from your circle the people in your life that are hindering you or not bringing you to the place where God has called you to be. You know, I gave my heart to Jesus. I've shared my story with you before. I was in a pretty sad state in my life. My parents were both gone, and I was living. I was homeless. Somebody handed me a Bible. They said, read this. Maybe it'll help you. I was doing everything I said that I would never do. I saw my mom or my dad as a young boy, an alcoholic. He was abusive. He would drink everything in sight. I saw him do that, and I said I'd never do that, only to begin to become the very thing that I said I would not be. Because, see, you can't do things in your own strength. You need the help of Jesus in your life and the help of Jesus in others in your life to move you to that place. And when I gave my heart to the Lord, I knew that there were people in my life that I just couldn't have that association to the level that I used to. And some of them, one of my friends, I hadn't seen him for over 25 years. I hadn't talked to him, and we were close. We would be out 3-4 nights a week doing everything that we shouldn't do. And when I gave my heart to Christ, I knew I was going to have to make some changes. And I stepped away from that. And the next time I saw him was probably 25, maybe it was 28 years later. And he showed up in the back on a Thanksgiving morning. He heard that the church, he didn't even know I was the pastor, he heard that the church gave and did a Thanksgiving dinner. And he brought bread to us that day. And I'll never forget him walking in. He saw me. He didn't think he saw the Holy Ghost, but he thought he saw a ghost. And that was the first time that I saw him. But God will, he'll help you to allow people out of your life that are not helping you. Now listen to me. Some of you are already turning me off because you've heard this before. I'm going to give it to you in a manner that I hope you can accept. You need to make a disciplined decision today that if you're going to move to the level that God has called you to go, there are some people that aren't going to go in that direction with you. And that God has brought other people in your life that will help you do that. Because if you're going to move into that, you're going to have to move away from the people that you're always comfortable with. And I said this in the first service. The people that I'm comfortable with now, 25 years ago, I was very uncomfortable with. And the people that I was comfortable with then, I am very uncomfortable with now. Because I'm not like that anymore. I'm a totally different person. And there's some that you have to let some people go in your life. Some people that have hurt you. Some people that have assaulted you in one way or the other. Some people that have talked bad about you or said things or they took advantage of you in some way. You got to let that go. You got to move beyond that. And some of you, you're carrying things around from people that they're not even living anymore, and you're still allowing that attachment in your life to dictate who you are to become. And this is a season, and this is a time where you must move away from that, and you must move in the direction where God has really destined you to go for His glory and for the betterment of who you are going to be. Because He's got something great for your life. I don't care how young, how old you are. It's never too late to start. Oh, I hear a good amen on that. And when people are asked, what helped you? What was one of the greatest inspirations in your life? They ask celebrities, famous people, they'll always come back and they'll say, it was this person that I met in my life, it was that person that I met in my life, it was this individual at a certain time in my life. And as I think of that in my own life, I think I go down the line and I think of the different people that God has brought into my life at different seasons of my life that would have influence on me at that time to move me from a level that God was wanting to bring me to. And we need people in our life that will give us inspiration, that will help us to be accountable, that will correct us, and that will bring affirmation to our lives. These are the people that that God brings into our life to help us get to where we need to be. So I want to just take a few moments and I just want to share, and I'm not going to be long, six people that you need in your life that will take you to the purpose and to the destiny that will help you, that God in their lives will help you move to where you need to go. First one, I think is so appropriate, is we need a Nathan in our life. Someone who will confront us when we are wrong. And not many people like that. We have a propensity to run away from that for a myriad of reasons. But if you read the story about Nathan, he was an advisor. He was a prophetic voice to David's life. And he would help him in the building of the temple. He would even help him in choosing one of his sons, Solomon, to be the king. He would even help him to arrange the worship for the temple. And you know the story so well that David, King David, the Bible says that there was a time where kings went out for war, but David stayed back. And let me just insert this as a little side note. When you're called to do something and you don't do it, you are opening your life up for trouble. And the Bible says that David stayed back. And when he stayed back, he went out on his veranda one day and he looked down and there was a woman, the neighbor, the wife of Uriah. Her name was Bathsheba, and she was bathing naked on the deck, and he was watching, sent for her to come. And the Bible says that he had relationship with her, and to cover it up, he did everything he could, and he finally succeeded to have Bathsheba's husband killed. He put him up into war, into the front line where nobody would live. He knew it. And one day, the Spirit of God came upon Nathan and said, I want you to go to David and give him the story. And the Bible says that he confronts David and he begins to tell him about a story about a rich man taking advantage of a poor man's lamb and having him murdered. And David got all up in arms. He said, bring that man to me. I'll have him killed. And Nathan stretches out his arms and he points that long prophet finger to his life to Nathan and says, you're the man. You are the one. And how we need that in our lives. And I want to tell you today, don't bristle at that. Invite that. We need those kind of people in our lives. It brought David to a place. And what is so strange for me to see in the story is how far humanity can go where we feel so shielded from the reality of our decisions that we don't even know what's going on around us. And we just continue on in life, living the way we've always lived, doing what we've always done, and no conviction on our heart. That's why, my brothers and sisters, today we need people that will come and speak into our lives and tell us things that maybe is uncomfortable to us. Tell us what we necessarily don't want to hear at the time, but tell us so we'll live and we'll be and we'll become everything that God has called us to be. I don't know about you, but I've had some people get up in my face and tell me, look at the thing that you're doing, what you're thinking, the direction that you're going. It's not right. And I thank God for that. I didn't run away from them. Oh my goodness, and I've told you about my pastor who's here on my birthday, Pastor Ron Domino, where he says, I want to see you. And I'm walking in his office, and so kindly and gently, he looked at me and he says, I want you to do this and this and this because of this. And I'm thinking, my goodness, that doesn't feel good right now, but I want to really exclaim this to you. What feels good now necessarily won't produce good in the future. You need, and I need, people that will confront our lives and help us. Psalm 141:5 says, let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it. Nathan was not just someone who confronted David, but he was a friend of his, and he was committed to helping him achieve his destiny. You and I need that in our lives. And let me say this too when I say this. You are not called in someone's life to be that if you don't have relationship with them. I've met so many people say, well, I'm called to go wherever I go. I'm called to confront people. No, you're not. I want to use a word to describe that, but it would be inappropriate. My kids would get after me later, so I won't. You have to have relationship with people in order to confront them, and they have to have relationship with you in order to confront you. But don't discard that. Come on today. Let people speak into your life that will help you. Number two, you need a Jonathan in your life. Someone who will support your God-given dream. And let me say this. A God-given dream, not a flesh-driven dream. There is a difference. This is a person that some have called and described as a confidant in our life. They'll stand by you when you're on the top or when you're on the bottom. I like this person. They'll stand with you when everybody else walks out of your life. They'll walk in your life. You know what? If somebody makes a blunder and makes a mess up in their life, and they come and they say, I was wrong, please forgive me, God forgive me, from that point on, all someone can do is move up. And you and I need to be that person that will help them to speak in their life, to help them to believe in the dream that God has put in them, and to stand and pray and say, you're going to make this, you're going to do this, I am on your side. Jonathan was David's best friend. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 18, that after he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him like his own soul. You'll need somebody in your life like that in 2016. And if you don't have that, you're in trouble already. You need somebody that you can depend on. Somebody that will say, hey, I got your back. Somebody that will say, I'll stand up for you. If anyone else doesn't stand up for you, I will stand up for you. You can call them anytime and they'll run and help you. My boys will sit around and we'll talk about different people. And you know how we'll describe them? We say, this person, if I call them at midnight and said I needed help, they'd come and help us. We need those kind of people in our lives. You need and I need a Nathan that'll confront us and a Jonathan that will love us and support us and stand with us no matter what comes in our lives. Come on, are you listening to me today? Number three, you and I need a Barnabas in our lives. A Barnabas sees your potential and he will encourage you. Listen to this. This is a great story. Barnabas, he was a Levite from Cyprus. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, the Bible says that they called him Barnabas, which translates son of encouragement. And Barnabas wasn't just an encourager from his words. He was an encourager with his deeds. And that will separate people that just talk a lot from the people that talk and do also. You know, when Garrett gets up and says, we need 20 people that will help us. I love people saying, hey, you did a great job putting up the trees. Oh, the church looks nice. Oh, this looks good. But you know, I'm really encouraged when I see 20 people stand up and say, yeah, I'll put those trees away. I'll do this. Yeah, I'll come early at church. I'll serve the coffee and the cookies. Those are people that encourage others. And you and I need a Barnabas in our life like that. The word Barnabas means one who encourages or exhorts. Someone that helps you. And when you walk away from that person, you feel like you can do absolutely anything. Number four, this is for those who have a relationship with Jesus. You love the Lord with all your heart and you want to do what's right in His sight. You need a Paul in your life. Someone who will help you stay spiritually accurate in your walk with God. Let me tell you something. Just because you meet Jesus and you've known Him for a few months does not mean you got it all together. In fact, the more that you know this book, the more you will not know. Does that make sense? Do you understand that? The more you know this, the more you'll find out, I really don't know that. I need a Paul in my life that will help me stay on course and not let me get off and become wacky or goofy. Amen. Hey, amen. When people get a slight understanding of God's word and then begin to say they know everything, they are deceived. And I want to encourage you today. You need to be and get in one of the Bible studies. The ladies, you guys are going to start up in a couple of weeks on Monday night. I've heard so many great things about that Monday night ladies Bible study. Tuesday early morning, men's Bible study, 7 to 8 o'clock. Wednesday evening, men's Bible study, 7 to 8 o'clock. Thursday morning, 11 to noon in the Outback for anyone. Thursday night here at 7 to 8. You're not going to know it on your own. You need someone to help you to know the Word of God and to stay on course to be everything that God has called you to be. You need that. We need a Paul in our lives. I think of Chuck Wood. The man, he was around when Moses was around. And he'll sit at that table on a Tuesday morning and Phil Gardner will be, he'll be teaching away. And Phil has grown so much in the Lord. But Phil would tell you, Phil has taught that Tuesday morning Bible study, I don't know, for 10, 11 years now. He'll tell you, anybody that tells you, we don't know it all. We need help from people. I was sitting with Tommy Reed having lunch with him about 3 weeks ago. He's 83 years old. He's been all over the world. Everywhere you go, people know who he is. And he's sitting at the table and he's looking at me. He says, boy, he said, I just hope I get an understanding of really the principles and the practices of God, what he wants for my life. I dropped my fork and I said, are you kidding me? If you don't have a handle on it, I'm doomed. We need a Paul in our lives. We need people that'll help us. Number five. You and I need a John Mark in our lives who reminds us to show mercy, restoration, and listen to me, and to release people who have wronged us or hurt us. If you can't do that, you're stuck already. You have to release people who have hurt you. We're going to share communion at the end of the service today. And what better time in the middle of that, receiving the cup and the bread, to ask God to do a deep work in your heart and in your life. And for some of you, you may be just masking it over, but God wants you to go beyond that. And you need people in your life, like I'm doing right now. I'm encouraging you. Let some people go. Release that out of your life. Why are you allowing that to hinder who you are? And let me say this too, and I said it in the first service. If you're a mom and dad and you're holding hindrances and you're upset at others, it's not only going to affect you, I can't explain it, but it's going to trickle down and have an effect on your children. Oh, you can amen me on that if you want to. You know I'm telling you the truth. And if you're here and that's you and you're going through that and you see some things in your kids, as we used to say on the farm, they didn't lick it off the ground. Display to them that you will release people that have wronged you and you will show mercy and you will be the person that even if somebody is wrong, you will be there to help them. My goodness, I've talked to a myriad of people over the years. Pastors have lost their churches over incidents, just messes that has happened. And my heart is when I talk to a pastor, if he has made a mistake, listen, I don't care if what mistake you've made. We'll help you. You may need some counseling to get past it. It's okay. It won't hurt you. And I am a proponent of great biblical counseling. It's a gift in the body of Christ. If you need counseling, it doesn't mean that you're not trusting in the Lord. Come on, get past that. Grow out of that. If somebody's told you that, that was baloney. You need God to help you. But if somebody makes a mistake and they say, I was wrong, I did this, and they repent of it, and they say, would you help me? I want to grow in God. Where else do we go? Do we define them for the problem that they were in or what the mistake that they made? No. We are called to release them and to help them. And God's got a greater plan for their lives than what they ever thought could be. Come on, you ought to amen me on that better. This is a church that is going to be a house of refuge for some. That it will find peace and find help and find hope. I don't care who you are. You can get past that. And John Mark was a helper with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey in Acts chapter 13. And the Bible says that he didn't stay with them throughout the whole trip. In fact, in Acts chapter 15, the Bible says that he left them. And the Bible really doesn't say why he left them. Maybe it was because they had so much demonic oppression in that area of Cyprus that they were, when they were taking the gospel to it, and maybe it was more than he could handle. You know, nobody really knows. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 15 and verse 36 that Barnabas, of all people, of course, son of encourager, wanted to take John Mark with him. But the apostle Paul said, no, I don't want him. He was torqued at him. And there's something, to be honest with you, that I find a little comfort in that. I love it when super spiritual, real godly men and women have a flaw that they allow me to see. You see many of them in me on a regular basis. But I love that about that. Paul said, no, I don't want John Mark on this trip because of what he did on the last trip. He didn't hold up to him. But we need to be people that will release them. Years later, the Bible says in Philemon chapter 1 and verse 24 that John Mark, he was a fellow worker with Paul. Something happened in his life. And then even later in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, he says this. He says, get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. What is he saying here? There came a time when the Bible doesn't say that Paul apologized to John Mark for what had happened. He just allowed God to do a work in his life. And John Mark brought the attitude of restoration, forgiveness, and the ability to move on even when someone has wronged you. Somebody needs to hear that today. You need to move past it. You can't take that into 2016 with you. And lastly, we need a Timothy in our lives. I love this. He keeps you from giving up during the time of hardship in your life. Well, when I was going through these and I was just thinking the different people that fit with this, I thought of our own Chuck Wood. He comes into the first service. Chuck came up into my office one of the hardest times of my life. And I'm telling you what, if he hadn't come up that day, I wouldn't have been here today. But he come up and said words like, how you doing? Just in the intonation in his voice. He didn't come up and say, how are you doing? He came up and said, how you doing? Hey, yo, what's up? And then he said this to me. He says, oh, you get past this. He said, this is just a short season in your life. You get beyond this. This is nothing. God's bigger than this. Oh, I remember those times. I remember people coming to me and saying, God is still God. I remember people speaking into my life during the hardest time in my life. I remember Pastor Tommy Barnett preaching a message about the Eagles and laying his hands on me. He didn't know anything that was happening in my life. And he looked right at me in the eye and he said, whatever it is, it ends here today and you're moving on. And if it wasn't for somebody like that in my life to help me with that, oh, I could just cry about it now because you need these people in your life. If you don't have them in your life, you stop. And God doesn't do what he has intended in your life. I can't even begin to think. I wouldn't have got to dedicate that little beautiful Madeline this morning had I given up in the midst of that. And I want to be that person that tells you, I don't care what you've been through, what you're going through, what you're facing. Come on, you can dust yourself off. You can get back up. You can go again. God is not done with you. He's got a plan for your life. You and I need a Timothy in our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 says, and we sent Timothy, our brother and co-worker, for God in proclaiming the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you for the sake of your faith so that no one would be shaken by the persecutions. Well, you may be going through a tough time, but it's not. Things come in seasons. Seasons end. You're going to get past it. You're going to get through it. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know the loss. You don't know the pain. Come on. You can get beyond that today. We need a Timothy in our lives to tell us. The Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 12 says, therefore, lift up your drooping heads. And I want to say that to somebody today. Lift up your drooping heads and your hands. Strengthen your weak knees and make your paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather it can be healed in the name of Jesus. Come on, you're going to rise again. You're going to live again. I speak life over everyone in here today. You will live again today. You need a Nathan. You need a Jonathan. You need a Barnabas, someone that will encourage you. You need a Paul who will help you. You need a John Mark who will remind you to restore and forgive and release. And you need a Timothy to help you not to give up during times of great hardship. Come on. Do you trust God with your life today? Come on, 2016. It's going to be our year. I want those that are going to help with communion. I want you to come right now. 2016 is going to be the year for some of you. 2015, you may have gone through some challenges. Maybe for some of you, it's been going on a long time in your life. You've been hurting. You've been in pain. You've been... Nothing's been going right. You need to make... If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, you need to do that today. In fact, I want you to do it before you even receive communion today. And you can do it right where you're seated today. We want to share the cup and the bread with you. I want you to take it. We're going to all partake together. When you receive the bread and the cup, I want you to hold it. And I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to ask the Lord. If you're here today and you've never made Him the Lord and Savior of your life, He wants to come into your life today. You can do that right where you're at. You say, well, I don't feel anything. He wants to change your life today. He wants to help you be the person that you are called and created to be today. If you're here and you've never given your heart to Christ, you receive the cup and the bread, I just want you to close your eyes and just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of every one of my sin. Be the Lord and the master of my life. I ask you to be my Savior. He'll come in. He'll begin to change your life. Maybe you're here today and things have not gone as planned. This could be the greatest moment of your life today. Oh, I've seen God do such great things in people when we least expected it. You're not going to see any sparks fly off from the ceiling or a thunder. Be nice. The Spirit of the Lord comes into a person's heart, begins to change them from the inside out, and makes them into who He's called them to be. He wants to give you people in your life this year, too. Some of you need a Nathan. You've been resisting it because you don't want anybody, you have this attitude, nobody's going to tell me anything. Somebody's going to tell you something. It's going to come one way or the other. Some of you never had a Jonathan in your life to encourage you, to inspire you. Tell you, you can do it. Some of you never had a Barnabas in your life. It speaks to your potential, not to who you are right now. We need that in our lives. You need a Paul, someone that will help you stay on course. It's okay that you and I don't know everything. We just can never get to the place where we think we know everything. We need a John Mark, someone that'll remind us God has forgiven you. You must forgive others. We need a Timothy, so you won't give up in the midst of hardship. Praise His name today. You receive the cup and the bread. Just close your eyes just for a moment. If you did not receive this morning, if by some way you got missed, will you wave your hand real high right now so we can see that and make sure that you're served? Just close your eyes about your head. We're going to partake of this together today. Some of you need to make Jesus number one in your life. You call on Him when you're in trouble, but you never remember Him when everything is going well. He's not upset at you. He just wants to be a part of who you are. And until you know Him, you will never experience the life that He is predestined for you to walk in. You can do that right where you're at, right now. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior, my Lord. Some of you are in a dark place. You've let influences, unhealthy influences, direct your life. And I just want to tell you today, if you'll make a step forward, God will come alongside you and He'll help you make that corner, that turn that corner in your life. Hallelujah. Somebody's receiving that right now. Jesus, the Bible says, in the night He was betrayed, He took bread. He broke it. He blessed it. He gave it. He said, this is my body. This has been broken for you. Whenever you eat this, remember what I have done for you. Hallelujah. We just came through Christmas season where we celebrated the birth of our Savior. Came into the world just for you. For you. As often as you eat this bread, remember what He has done. Let's partake together the bread, the body of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. The Bible says in the same way He took the cup. He said, this is my blood. It's the New Testament. He said, as often as you drink this, remember what I have done for you. Today, if you need a touch from heaven, He is here. If you need strength, healing in your body, your heart, your soul, your spirit. Some of you are going through a challenging time now. You need peace in your life. He's the one that brings peace. He's the one that forgives you of sin. He is the one that gives you hope. He is the one that declares over your life, you're free. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. He said, as often as you drink this, remember what I've done. Let's partake of the cup together. I thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. God, I know that from today there will be testimonies that have come from the powerful and the wonderful things that you have done, God. Declare over your people today it's a new day. A new season is coming to your life. A new day is coming to you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said, amen.